Chapter 16, Freshman Orientation. I was surprised to find a highly biased propaganda piece against parapsychology in the textbook for the beginning psychology course at Dartmouth College in the fall of 1998. Illustrating how social signals are sent to young and impressionable college freshmen, insinuating that parapsychology is somehow disreputable. I'll quote just a few choice bits here. I have capitalized certain words to point out the bias that is being applied. Quote, throughout history, however, various people have claimed extrasensory perception, the ability to perceive stimuli from past, present, or future through a mechanism beyond vision, hearing, touch, taste, and smell. Alleged forms of extrasensory perception, ESP, have included clairvoyance, telepathy, and psychokinesis. Claims for ESP are widely believed. Research on them is called parapsychology. End quote. The words that I have emphasized convey the desired bias that this is just somebody's belief system and not to be taken seriously. The references above to Alcock and Lett are to Skeptical Inquirer, which I like to call Skeptical Enquirer, because of the high level of inaccuracy of its methods and its content. I am not including these people in academia, not wanting to pollute academia by including them in with reputable academic people. But I see here that the people in academia don't mind polluting themselves. Quote, many apparent parapsychological phenomena are weak and difficult to replicate under close scrutiny by outside observers. Reported ESP phenomena often fail to occur. Again, I have emphasized words to show the bias being conveyed. It is true that parapsychological phenomena are weak, and parapsychological tests often fail. I have capitalized outside observers because this carries with it the bias that there are inside observers who are biased and outside observers who are unbiased. This insinuation is not accurate. Actually, there are people who believe in parapsychology and people who don't. Parapsychological abilities are so delicate, so sensitive, that an experimenter who is biased against parapsychology can actually block the perceptions through his or her mind-jamming abilities, or just creating a general aura of negativity. It is like asking the subject to sing a tune while another tune is being played loudly in the room, or having a wine tasting session in a kitchen where sauerkraut is being cooked. I have actually seen the results of a parapsychological experiment where the subjects scored significantly less than chance, and the experimenter concluded that since the results were negative, parapsychology was disproved. If you have ever studied mathematical statistics, you know that that conclusion is wrong. The result is significant, therefore there was a force operating to cause the person to score less than chance. Most likely a negative bias on the part of the experimenter and or the subject. Either or both were probably using their parapsychological abilities to make the results come out to support their bias. So let's not assume that these outside observers are either unbiased or exert a neutral effect on the experiment. Some people, because of their strong negative bias, are simply not qualified to perform experiments in psychology. All it takes is a little smile at the beginning. Today we are going to test your psychic powers. Smile. What the authors neglect to mention here, in order to convey their bias, is that the Journal of Parapsychology has been reporting successful experiments in parapsychology since 1937, and the British Journal of the Society for Psychical Research has been reporting successful results for much longer than that. To counter the claim that parapsychological tests often fail, there is this vast body of research to show that experiments in parapsychology have more often been successful. It is interesting that the authors here don't use the word psi anywhere. Maybe they aren't aware of it, but they refer to ESP over and over again. I don't know their intentions, of course, in doing this, but I do know that the effect of using this expression, which is a contradiction in terms, is to convey the message at some subconscious level, perception without a sense is impossible. Therefore, ESP is impossible. The text continues, quote, "In one set of experiments, subjects were asked to predict which of four randomly illuminated lights would appear next. After several thousand trials, a few subjects correctly predicted the illumination up to 26.3% of the time, a performance that, statistically speaking, is significantly better than the 25% to be expected by chance alone." They seem to have picked the least impressive result of a parapsychological experiment that they could find. Mathematically, after several thousand trials, the result may be significant, but intuitively, by Weber's law, which the authors have just been discussing, a person perceives that 26.3% and 25% are essentially the same. They didn't mention Hubert Pierce, who scored 39.6% in 300 trials, where he would have scored 20% by chance. In 1,850 trials, he scored only 30%. Maybe he got bored. But still, the odds against doing this by chance are 22 billion to 1. Continuing with the text, quote, "Many psychologists have also challenged the use of apparent changes in random number machine output as a measure of psychokinesis. They note that randomness is not an all-or-none concept. If you flip a coin 7 times and it comes up heads each time, is the pattern really non-random? Does it mean that you have psychokinetic ability? A sequence of 7 heads in a row is unlikely. It will occur on average only once in 128 tries, but it certainly can happen. Indeed, a 7-head sequence is just as likely as any of the 127 other possible 7-flip sequences. In other words, it is far more difficult than one might think to determine that something really is non-random." Thus, a very plausible explanation of apparently non-random events in ESP experiments is that they are random, after all. This is just wonderful mathematical mind jive aimed at creating doubts in the minds of young freshmen who may not have studied mathematical statistics, just as a lawyer might try to create a reasonable doubt in the minds of jurors. But science operates with a reasonable doubt, and there are accepted standards of non-randomness. If there is less than 1 chance in 20 that the outcome of an experiment could have occurred by chance, the results are considered significant. If you are anxious that the 1 chance in 20 might actually have occurred by chance, you can do the experiment again. If you get 1 chance in 20 again, then the probability that the results for both experiments combined are due to chance is 1 in 400, and so on. Generally accepted confidence limits for psychological experiments are 2 standard deviations, 1 chance in 20, and 4 standard deviations, 1 chance in 10,000, of arriving at the outcome by chance. What the authors don't seem to realize is that their mathematical mind jive, if accepted, would invalidate a great many scientific experiments, not only in parapsychology, but in psychology and other fields as well. A photograph of a woman in a bizarre position calls our attention to the box in the wide margin of the textbook. The caption reads, "An ESP experiment. This woman is attempting to use clairvoyance to see objects in another room while hearing only white noise and wearing goggles that provide unpatterned visual stimulation. She is unlikely to succeed." The woman is made to look foolish, and thus parapsychology is made to look foolish. This is the unscientific method of ridicule. The evidence, Ganzfeld procedure, indicates that she is likely to succeed. Despite the authoritarian pronouncement here, she is unlikely to succeed. The caption continues, quote, "Since 1964, James Randi, an expert magician and ESP skeptic, has carried a $10,000 check that he will give to anyone who can perform clairvoyance, telepathy, or any other feat of ESP under scientific conditions. After investigating hundreds of claims, he still has his money." That's because James Randi makes the rules and has made himself the judge. "I have suggested to the Rhine Research Center that they consult with a good law firm to see if they could collect the money from Randi in an impartial court of law. Also, they might make a few more dollars for the defamation inherent in his book title, Flim Flam." Quote, "Finally, some apparently remarkable results of ESP experiments can be attributed to fraud. A few researchers have tampered with their equipment and measurements, thus destroying their credibility and raising suspicions about all parapsychological research." That's a nice propaganda move. Now that our brains are befuddled by the mathematical mind jive and insinuations of flimflam, the authors are trying to slip this accusation of fraud past our critical faculties for the killer blow. Now that they can say the word fraud out loud, since it is aimed at nobody in particular, but also note that it applies to nobody in particular, unless the person is actually identified. It's just a broad brush smear, as in racial prejudice or class prejudice, to taint the reputation of the whole class of people it is aimed at. Accusations of fraud are not part of the scientific method and are not necessary in science. The key to science is replication. If a finding is fraudulent, it will simply not be replicated by reputable investigators and therefore not accepted as scientifically demonstrated. It's as simple as that. There are instances of fraud in every branch of science, so by the same faulty reasoning, the words, thus destroying their credibility and raising suspicions, can be applied to all scientific research. Again, the smear tactics aimed at parapsychology can be applied to other branches of science as well. The propaganda backfires. Here they conclude, quote, "As a science, psychology depends for evidence on clear, reliable, and replicated observations. Skeptical scientists place the burden of proof for the existence of ESP on parapsychologists, who must be able to show robust, replicable ESP effects that do not depend on interpretation of non-randomness and that occur under tightly controlled conditions. Given the tactics they use, we would expect that the authors would arrive at these conclusions, or actually that they had begun with these conclusions. To counter these insinuations, first of all, scientists have recognized parapsychology as a science, by granting the Parapsychological Association affiliation with the AAAS. These authors make no mention of that. And then I offer the following quotes from people who are actually expert in the field of parapsychology for the freshman student to decide which viewpoint sounds more accurate. Quote, since the publication of the first Ganzfeld Psi experimentation in 1974, there have been over 108 Ganzfeld studies encompassing some 2,549 sessions reported in at least 40 publications by researchers around the world. Have they all demonstrated Psi? Certainly not. Hardly any experiments involving human psychology are successful every time. Nevertheless, the Ganzfeld procedure has seen sufficient successful independent replication that it has come to be viewed as one of parapsychology's best techniques for examining Psi under controlled laboratory conditions. Those who have examined the Ganzfeld database consider it as a whole to be some of the best evidence for a replicable Psi effect in parapsychology to date. Another quote, the major strategy of parapsychology is to declare that by adhering to the strictest canons of scientific methodology, it is possible to A. demonstrate the existence or non-existence of Psi, and B. to gain knowledge concerning Psi, if it exists. Because of this adherence to scientific methodology, parapsychologists claim that mainstream scientific recognition and legitimacy are rightfully theirs. An overall review of parapsychological literature, which numbers in the thousands of articles, indicates that Psi does indeed exist, and even reveals various patterns that seem to be related to its occurrence. Numerous experiments could be cited as evidence that the existence of Psi has been proven. For the purpose of illustration, Beloff has listed 7 experiments that can be considered as highly evidential in support of the existence of Psi. I leave the references above for the freshman student who wants to pursue this subject further. It was interesting to me to note that the 7 experiments listed by Beloff did not all take place at the Rhine Research Center, formerly FRNM, but were performed in 6 different laboratories in 5 different countries. To answer any insinuations that parapsychological experiments have not been replicated, it should also be noted that while I have tried to make a case for the evidence of the mental senses, parapsychological research has been conducted by the strictest rules of established physical science, using the evidence of the physical senses only. As of 1998, Dartmouth College Library had every issue of the Journal of Parapsychology, going back to Volume 1 in 1937. Anybody could have read it and refuted the claims of the textbook that I cited, except that nobody knew, once the social signals had been sent, that they weren't supposed to read it.